pasuk tells us in this week's parasha, "Va'asa li'mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham." She built the base of Mikdash, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will dwell, build the Mishkan, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will dwell amongst us. K'cho Hashem Neimar Oyscha Es Tavnis HaMishkan Ves Tavnis Kol Kelav. In the manner that Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed us to do so, according to the specifications, the Mishkan and the utensils that will be used within it. V'chein Tasu, and so shall you do, not only for that generation, but for further generations. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh notices that the inconsistency in the language of the Pasuk. The Pasuk begins discussing the Mikdash and then transitions to the Mishkan. It seems to use them interchangeably. So the Chaim HaKadosh writes, Sarech Ladas Lama Karo Mikdash V'techeb Chazer Bro V'Karo Mishkan. Begins with Mikdash and then transitions to Mishkan. So he explains, Ki Omer V'Asuli Mikdash Yimitzes Asei Kol Eles Kol Azmanim. It doesn't only apply to that generation when they were using a Mishkan, but really this is a mitzvah not only to the Mishkan, but to build the Beis HaMikdash in future generations. And it claims that this is a source for the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, where the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Asei Lasas Bais Lashem Dersi V'Asuli Mikdash. The Rambam derives from this pasuk of V'Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Soichem, which is really referring to the Mishkan, a mitzvah not only to build the Mishkan in the Midbar, but to build the Beis HaMikdash ultimately in Yerushalayim. And from the fact that the Torah uses the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash interchangeably, the Chaim HaKadosh claims that really we can derive from here, one is really a continuation of the other, and from the mitzvah to build a Mishkan, we can extrapolate to a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. And it seems that it not only refers, that not only was the Beis HaMikdash an extension of the Mishkan, and therefore included under this mitzvah, V'asali Mikdash V'shachanti B'Soichem, the Zohar HaKadosh extends this to all future Batei Knesios as well. The Zohar HaKadosh writes in Parashas Nosai, V'asali Mikdash V'shachanti B'Soichem, V'asali Mikdash Sam, the Kol Bei Kenishta Da Alma Mikdash. It's a vague term, which could be interpreted in perhaps more than one way, in order to include Batei Knesios as well, shuls and the future Batei Medrash, also an extension of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, and be included within this pasuk. This is echoed by the Gemara Megillah, the Chavtes Mid Aleph, quoting from the pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel, that when Klal Yisrael were about to enter into Galus, the Navi told them, "Vahilahem mid lamikdash miyat," that Kodesh Baruch Hu will travel with us into Galus and will be found in small batei mikdash. It will be in your midst. What is that referring to? Batei Knesios and batei midrashos shebabavel. That's also a continuation, a manifestation of the Beis HaMikdash within our midst. It's not only the Beis HaMikdash, the continuation of the Mishkan, the batei Knesios, batei midrashos, are a continuation of the Beis HaMikdash as well. And this, at least partially, perhaps entirely, is the source for the sanctity and the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesset, the Beis HaMedrash. Look over here, the Mishnah tells us in the Sechlis Megillah, Nav Chochez Meralef, Beis HaKnesset Shechariv. If you have a Beis HaKnesset that's been placed into disuse, or been abandoned, Ein must be the Mesoichoy. It still retains its Kedusha, you're not allowed to hold eulogies there. You can't make it into a shortcut. Why? Because it retains its kedusha. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Parashas Bukhukaisa, in the Teichacha, Vashimoisi es mikdashechem. Kadosh Baruch Hu will destroy our batei mikdash. So the pasuk is Beloshin Rabin, mikdashechem. It could have just said Vashimoisi es hamikdash. I'll destroy the Beis HaMikdash in the singular. It's not, it's in the plural. So look, earlier, Oizdawa, the Sifra, derives from here that it refers not only to the Beis HaMikdash itself, but to further manifestations of the Beis HaMikdash, including Batei Knesios, or Batei Midrashos, Mikdash, Mikdashi, Mikdashechem. Why is it in the plural? The Rabbah is Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos. So those are also included. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy them, but nonetheless, the Pasuk says, I'll destroy a Beis HaMikdash, which implies it's still the Beis HaMikdash even after it's been destroyed. It retains its kedusha even after it's been abandoned. Otherwise, it should have said as mikdashechem, acharev, or your Beis HaMikdash I will destroy, which implies after it's been destroyed, it's no longer Beis HaMikdash. Here it says vashimoisi as mikdashechem, I'll destroy your Beis HaMikdash, which implies it's still the Beis HaMikdash even after it's been destroyed. So the Mishnah derives from here, avkishahin shaymimin, they're still retaining some measure of kedusha, and they have to be treated properly. And the Brisa continues, Tanur Abana, but the Knesios, Einogam, and Kalas Rosh, one is not allowed to engage in lightheartedness or levity in the Beis Knesset, Beis HaMedrash, and in Oichlam Behemin Shoysim Behen. One is not allowed to eat there or sleep there or engage in other mundane activities in the Beis HaMikdash. It would be considered a violation of the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Beis HaKnesses. But what is the source of the sanctity of the Kiddush of the Beis HaKnesses in the first place? So just from the context of the Mishnah, and this it seems to connect it to the Kiddush, the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi Moses Mikdash Shechem, even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, retains its Kedusha, so too, even after the Beis HaKnesset has been destroyed, it retains its Kedusha. The Ram, though, on that Gemara Mesechtas Megillah, quotes in the name of the Ramban, that the sanctity of the Beis HaKnesset is by virtue of the fact that we use it for a mitzvah. What mitzvah? We use it for tefillah. So it has the status of Tashmishe Kedusha, Tashmishe Mitzvah. Any item that's used to perform a mitzvah, one is not allowed to derive other forms of it, use it for other activities and other uses, as long as the time for the mitzvah continues. Tashmishe mitzvah, one is not allowed to benefit from. That's why we mentioned earlier that the light of the Ner Chanukah, one is not allowed to use to count money. Kadesh lo yehe mitzvahs bezuyos alav. It's like a disgrace to the mitzvah to use it for your own activities. But after the mitzvah has been concluded, it's Nizrakin. Tashmishe mitzvah lachas ma mitzvatsan on Nizrakin. So you can take the lulav and the esrog, wrap it up in a garbage bag, and put it in the garbage. Not right to put it together with the banana peels. That's an embarrassment. Disgrace to the mitzvah. But after, if you put it in its own separate bag, you throw it in the garbage. So to say the Ramban, once a Beis HaKnesses has been placed into disuse, it's been abandoned, it really should no longer retain any of its sanctity. The only reason the Mishnah tells us, Beis HaKnesses shecharev, you're not allowed to hold eulogies there, is because you might come back to change your mind and you'll use this Beis HaKnesses. He says, "Uvizman mitzvah yesh bo in kedusha shel kavod l'fichach Beis HaKnesses kol zman shebnei ha'ir roitzim boy, as long as they still wanted to be there, nagam bo kedusha afilu v'chabanoi, it still retains some kedusha shrei adayim over zman mitzvah. So maybe we'll come back to use it again. But if it's been permanently abandoned and placed into disuse, there's no way we're going to use it again. According to the Ramban, it would lose its sanctity, and one could use it for mundane activities. And while it's in use, the only reason it has sanctity is because the kadesh lo yehi mitzvahs bezuyos salav. It would be a disgrace to use it for other items. However, then the Ran quotes the fact that he disagrees. That was after he quotes the Ramban. Then the Ran writes in the last line over here, lefichach nirali, the Beis HaKnesses, the Kavasayu, is not Beis HaKnesses, or Beis HaMedrash, is not Kadosh, because it's Tashmishe Mitzvah, but rather he believes it's Tashmishe Kedusha, like Tefillin, like Mezuzah, like Sefer Torah, like an Arum, that is not only used to perform a mitzvah, it's used to learn Torah, or what contained within a parashias of the Torah. And those items, after they've no longer useful, you're not allowed to just throw them in the garbage. You have to, even in a separate bag, you have a Tashmishi Kedusha, Lachas Man Mitzvasan are Nignazin. They have to be buried and placed in Geniza. So too, the Ran feels that the status of the Kedusha of the Shul is derived from the fact that not that it's Tashmishi Mitzvah, it's used for Mitzvah, it's because it's Tashmishi Kedusha. At least Midrabbanon, look at the last four words of the Ran, he writes, Hey Tilubo Chachamim Kedusha Midivrayim. They treated it as if it's Tashmishe Kedusha Midrabbanon. Why? Because we learn Torah there, we recite Tvarim Shebi Kedusha there, of Kaddish and Kedusha. So the Ran feels it has the status of Tashmishe Kedusha, not Tashmishe Mitzvah, but Tashmishe Kedusha, albeit Midrabbanon. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Are we talking about, when we say Chor, are we saying that it's partially destroyed, or it's like abandoned, or are we saying that
abandoned.
Like, totally...
If it's been leveled, it's no longer there.
Right.
It's abandoned. Okay, but either way, according to the Ramban, the status of the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is because it's used for mitzvah, so it has the status of Tashmishe Mitzvah. According to the Ran, it's because it's Tashmishe, the status of the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses stems from the fact that it's Tashmishe Kedusha, it's used for learning Torah and other Dvarim Shebi Kedusha. And therefore, even after it's been abandoned, you're not allowed to use it for mundane activities. However, the Sefer Yoreim writes over here in Siman Tov Tes, they know that the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses stems from the fact that it's a continuation, a Hemshech, of the Beis HaMikdash itself. And just like the Pasuk tells us that one has to maintain a certain level of seriousness and not allowed to engage in levity in the Beis HaMikdash. Umikdash, the pasuk tells the parashas Kedosh, Meshab Soisai, Tishmar, Mikdash Shitiro. You have to have a certain measure of fear when in the Beis HaMikdash. That same standard would apply to a Beis HaKnesses as well. Umatzino Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, Shenikru Mikdash. Those are also called a Mikdash. As the Brisa told us, Vashimaisi is Mikdash Sheichem in the plural. L'rabba is Batei Knesios or Batei Midrashos. So since the Beis HaKnesses is manifestation of the Beis HaMikdash, the Yosef Yerimai said that relationship functions even on a level of Deiraisa, not just Midrabbanan, we treat it like Tashmishi Kedusha, as the Ran told us. It even exists on a level of Deiraisa. So he writes, Lamanu, Kishamra Torah Mikdashi Tiro, Shabbatei Knesios or Batei Midrashos Bechalal, the same standard of behavior that you have to have. The Beis HaMikdash, one would have to have in the Beis HaKnesses, and one would be prohibited midday rise from engaging in Kalos Rosh, any kind of mundane activities in the Beis HaKnesses would be midday rise because of its relationship to the Beis HaMikdash, because it's the status of a Mikdash Miyad. The Rambam seems to subscribe to a similar position, that the Beis HaKnesses is really a manifestation of the Beis HaMikdash, midday rise. The Rambam writes in the Minyan HaMitzvah HaKotzer, that's not to say for our mitzvahs. Before the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam has a list of the mitzvahs. That's a brief list. So the Rambam writes over there, one of the loisaseis is shaloi la'abe beis hamikdash or batei knesios or batei midrashos. One is not allowed to dismantle or destroy a beis hakneses, because we have a mitzvah to destroy places of avodah zarah, and v'asherehem tisrafun ba'esh. And then the pasuk concludes, loisasun kein la'ashem alekeichem. Don't treat the places where you serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in a similar manner. I mean, don't destroy them. And the Rambam counts that in the Minyan HaMitzvahs is a Loisasei Deiraisa. The one is not allowed to destroy a Beis HaKnesses. And that doesn't only refer to the Beis HaMikdash. Rambam says Beis HaKnesses too, because that's a manifestation of a Beis HaMikdash Midoraisa. The Mordechai writes, and that one which is quoted by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, that a Beis HaKnesses Nikra Mikdash Miyat. It's called a Mikdash Miyat. And also, Lintoitz Dover Mi Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to destroy even part of a Beis HaKnesses, not the whole thing. Let's say the Beis HaKnesses is too large, the crowd shrunk, and now we want to take part of it and sell it off. You're not allowed to do that, because you're shrinking the size of the Beis HaKnesses and taking part of it and using it for something else. And where does he derive that from? Again, from the Pasuk that we're supposed to, Vinitastam is Mizbuch HaSeyam, you're supposed to destroy the altars of Avodah Zarah, but Loisasun Kein Lashem Alekeichem, you can't do so to the places where we serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, not only the Beis HaMikdash proper, but further manifestations of that, continuations of that, and that would include a Beis HaKnesses too, Midday Raisa. Beis HaKnesses is considered to be a Mikdash Miyat Midday Raisa, yeah.
Even for constructive purposes?
No, if you want to destroy it, to rebuild it nice in a nicer fashion, that's constructive. That Mordechai says that's allowed. But if it's just destructive, then that would be, the Mordechai writes that one is not allowed to do that. So because it seems that the Beis HaMikdash, at least according to the Rambam and the Rambam, is a further manifestation of the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash, each of above and Chutzlars are a further manifestation of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the level of sanctity and the way we conduct ourselves in the Beis HaMikdash has to translate as well Midoy Raisa into the way we conduct ourselves in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. And just like the Pasuk says, Mikdash Shiti Ro, one has to conduct himself in a fearful manner in the Beis HaMikdash, not allowed to engage in Kalos Rosh, so too there'd be an Isser, engage in lightheadedness or levity in the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash as well, Midrei Raisa. According to the Ran, it'll be Midrabanan, we treat it as Tashmishe Kedusha, or according to the Ramban, Tashmishe Mitzvah, but according to the Sefer Yerayim and the Rambam, this relationship exists Midrei Raisa. And therefore, because of the relationship, whether Deiraisa or Derabbanan, between the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMikdash, we find that Chazal, and later the Rishonim and other Kohanim, attempted to recreate the Beis HaMikdash to a certain degree, at least the way that the Beis HaMikdash was structured, tried to model the Beis HaKnesses after the Beis HaMikdash. So many of the elements of the way the Beis HaMikdash was constructed have been imported and adopted in the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash as well. For example, the Tosefta tells us, and Tosefta's Megillah, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that the door of the, for whatever reason, a lot of shuls are not constructed like this, but the door of the shul should be opposite the Aron, in the back. Why? Because the door in the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMikdash was opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's where the door in the Beis HaKnesset should be. Or the Rambam writes that the Bima, where we're laying from, should be in the middle of the shul. Just like the Mizbeach, where we brought Karbanos, was in the middle of the Azara. So we're trying to recreate the Beis HaMikdash in the shul. The truth of the matter is, the Rambam writes, the reason that the Bima has to be in the middle is Kedei Sheyishma Ukulam. So everyone should be able to hear. So Rav Moshe argues, let's say you have this, you know, big cavernous shul, and there's a small minyan mitzumtzum that sits in the front. So then Rav Moshe says, the bima should be in the middle of the people, not in the middle of the room. Okay. But the, nonetheless, the bima is supposed to be in the middle. And the Chassam Sofer, in his time, when he was fighting those who wanted to reform the synagogue, Beis HaKnesses, fought vehemently that the bima must remain. There were those who wanted to move the bima towards the front of the shul, and the bima must remain in the middle of the shul in order to maintain its similarity and its relationship with the Beis HaMikdash. And just like the bima was in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, so too the bima must remain in the middle of the shul and cannot be moved towards the front of the shul. So, in a similar way, the Maram Shik writes in his Truvis. Maram Shik was, of course, one of the foremost Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer and continued his battle against those who wanted to introduce reforms and changes into Yiddishkeit and particularly into the Beis HaKnesses. The Maram Shik writes in one of his Truvis that just like in the Beis HaMikdash, there was an Ezras Yisrael and an Ezras Noshim, a woman's section and a man's section. So too, there must be an Ezras Noshim and an Ezras Anoshim, two separate, a men's section and a woman's section in the Beis HaKnesses. According to the Urayim and according to the Rambam, that will be Din Midoy Raisa, because the Beis HaKnesses is a manifestation of the Beis HaMikdash Midoy Raisa, and therefore the same layout and standard of behavior should apply in the Beis HaKnesses Midoy Raisa, the standard of behavior that we had in the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Ramban and the Ran, that would be the Rabbanan, but certainly according to the Urayim and the Rambam, that would be Midoy Raisa. So either Midoy Rabbanan or Midoy Raisa, there must be a separation between the men and the women in the Beis HaKnesses, just as there was in the Beis HaMikdash. So at least according to the Rambam and the Urayim, we could argue that separation is a din midoy raisa, because by virtue of the fact that Beis HaKnesses has a relationship midoy raisa, this concept of mikdash miyat has a relationship midoy raisa with the Beis HaMikdash. However, that just means perhaps that they have to be separated. Does there have to be a barrier, a mechitza between them, or is it enough if the men and the women are separated? In theory, you've argued it was enough if they're separated. However, Rav Moshe argues in the Igros Moshe that there must be midoy raisa, a barrier, a machitza between them. He's basing himself on a Gemara Masechta Sukkah, Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us over here on Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph that on the Matzah Yom Tov Harishon Shel Chag, on the Matzah Yom Tov Rishon of Sukkos, when they participated in the Simchas Beis Shereva, Yardu Lezras Noshim. The Simchas Beis Shereva was performed in the Ezras Noshim. They made a great improvement at that time. My tikkun gadol, was this great improvement? In fact, one of the mafarshim on the bottom of the Siddur Agra writes that that's why we say in the Shmona Esrei of Shalosh Regalim, v'samchenu b'sikunoi. We rejoiced with your improvement, with the tikkun. What does that mean? At the time of the Simchas Beis Shoeva, they made a great tikkun, which caused us to be able to rejoice. They made a great, at the time of Simchas Beis Shereva, they made a great tikkun, a great improvement in the Beis HaMikdash. What was this improvement? So the Brisa explains. Tana Rabbanan, Berishayna, initially, Hayunashim Yibifnim, Vanashim Yibachutz. They tried, there was clearly a separation between the men and the women, but the women were inside, meaning closest to the Simchas Beis Shereva, and the men were on the outside. Why were the women on the inside? Because it was the Ezras Noshim. But this led to Kalus Rosh. So therefore, they switched it. They thought maybe that would help to put the men inside and the women outside. They continue to lead to Kalas Rosh. Says Kinu, Shiunashim Yoshus Milmala, Vanashim Milmata. The assumption is that until now they were always kept separate. You know, there were very few occasions that public events were taking place in the Ezra's Noshim. So as long as everyone was separate, these issues didn't arise. But Simchas Beis Yisrael was one of the first events of the year, perhaps, that took place in the Ezra's Noshim. So we're trying to figure out how to arrange that. So they saw neither arrangement of the man on the inside, the woman on the outside, simply being separated alone was enough. So they built a balcony in the Ezra's Noshim. So Frek the Gemara Kasha, Hechi Avet Hachi, how could you alter the structure of the Beis HaMikdash? After all, it was given according to very specific specifications. It had to be built according to the instructions were given us by the Ribbono Shel Olam, as the Pasuk told us, as we mentioned at the beginning of this week's parasha, K'chol Asher Ani Mara Oischa Es Tavnis HaMishkam Es Tavnis Kol Kelev. We have to build the Mishkan and later the Beis HaMikdash according to the specific instructions that we were given, not only the Kelim but the structure itself. And the Pasuk says, Gemara quotes in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem, we're given it all in writing from the Ribbono Shel Olam to maintain to adhere to the instructions that we were given about how it should be constructed. So how could they make an alteration? How could they make a change, perhaps an improvement, but how can they make a change to the structure in the way that, for the specifications we were given for the Beis HaMikdash? So Amar Rav, Kura Ashkel V'Dorosh, they found another Pasuk, which gave them license to do this. Because the Pasuk says in Sefer Zechariah, at the time of the Levi of Mashiach ben Yosef, there will be a separation, Mishpachas, Mishpachas Levad, between different groups, Mishpachas beis David levad and Hashem levad. The men will be sitting in one section and the women in another. So you see, they're supposed to be separated from one another, presumably even by a boundary, by a barrier. Not just distant from one another, but in the same room. Rather, there should be a barrier between them. So if at the time of the Levaya, of Mashiach ben Yosef, there'll be a barrier between them. So Amar V'Aloi Dvarim Kavachaymer, if at the time of Levaya, when there's no Yetzer Hara, it's not Shoilet, you have to have a separation between the men and the women and a barrier between them. So how much more so at a time of rejoicing, Simchas Beis Sheva, there has to be a separation, a barrier between the men and the women. And this is not the only time that the Gemara discusses making a change to the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash. Look over here, the Gemara says in Masech Tzvachim, discussing the Asham Mitzayra, when a person is Tzaras, and the Tzaras heals, in order to become Tahar again, he has to bring a carbon, known as the Asham Mitzayra. And he's not Tahar until he brings the carbon, known as Mechuser Kippurim. Until he achieves atonement, going to the mikvah, waiting a period of time is not enough. He has to bring his carbon to become Tahar. And part of the process of bringing a carbon is, you put your hands on top of the carbon, which is known as Smichas HaKarbonis, you lean on the animal and confess the Averas, and then the animal serves, the carbon serves as a kapara for those Averas you confessed. However, the problem is, Smichas HaKarbonis was typically performed in the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash. But he's Tame, this fellow, until he brings his carbon. So he can't enter into the Azara to perform Smicha until he brings his carbon. But it's a catch-22. He can't do smicha on his carbon unless he enters into the Azara. But he's not allowed to enter the Azara until he becomes Tahar. How is he supposed to ever become Tahar then? So Gemara says, V'Oved Pishpesh. Let's make a hole in the wall of the Azara. He'll stick his hands through and lean on the animal while he's standing outside. Now, who said he could even stick part of his hands? That's called Bia B'Miksas. Can he even stick part of his hands into the Azara while he's tumbling? A further discussion, the Gemara brings it up. But the Gemara says maybe that'll be a solution to allow this Mitzvah to become Tahar and do Smicha on his carbon in the Azara. So Gemara says, no, that's that you're not allowed to do that. Abai v'rab d'ami tarvayu, ha'kol b'ksav, yad Hashem, alai haskil. You have to maintain the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to make alterations, to change from the official blueprints and the specifications we were given to the Beis HaMikdash. So you can't poke a hole in the wall. So what does this Hashem Metzora do? So the Gemara ends up concluding that smichas HaKarbonos for an Hashem Metzora is only a din midrabanan, and therefore it can be done outside of the Azara. Fine. It's a different, unique amongst the Karbonos. Yeah.
Is that like practically what they did? Because like...
Yeah, they did it outside.
So this is, okay.
They did outside. But the Gemara before, the Gemara came to that conclusion, most smicha and Karbonos is deraisa. The Gemara says, Hashem Metzora must be different. Because we have no other solution. You can't be, you can stick your hands through the wall. You can't do that. Because Hakol Bechzav, Yad Hashem, we're given instructions, you know, Eis Tavnis, HaMishkan, Eis Tavnis, Kol Kegel. We have to maintain the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. There's another Gemara that deals with this issue, Mishnah Mesechtes Chulin. The Mishnah tells us that typically when a person slaughters, performs Shechita on a Chaya and an Oiv, some types of animals and all birds, you have to do Kisui Adam. Kisui Adam means you have to have dirt underneath the blood and then sprinkle more dirt on top of the blood. There has to be dirt above and below the blood. Mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So the Mishnah says when they performed Shechitas Karbonos, they did not do Kisui Adam. When did they do Kisui Adam? Bechulin of Aloi b'Mekdoshin. So Frek the Gemara b'Mekdoshin, my time Aloi. What happened to the mitzvah of Kisui Adam? Why just because it's a carbon oif, are we not doing Kisui Adam? So the Gemara says, because it's not possible. Why is it not possible? Because we can't put dirt on top of the Mizbeach. Why can't you put dirt on top of the Mizbeach? Because it's going to serve as an interruption between the blood and the Mizbeach. The blood has to touch the Mizbeach itself. It'll be a chatzitza. So says the Gemara, no, let him be mevatel it there. Let him be mevatel. Let him leave the blood on top of the Mizbeach permanently and will become part of the Mizbeach. Will no longer be an interruption between the blood and the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. Hekli Ovid. Leisef levatle kamoisef abinyin. If you do that, you'll be adding to the height of the Mizbeach. You're violating, you're not constructing the Mizbeach in the proper fashion. It's too high. You change from the blueprints of the Mizbeach, and therefore of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is a violation of HaKol Bechzav Miyad Hashem. You can't do it. So therefore, we forfeit Kisui Adam when we're discussing a carbon oifus. We just can't do it. It's not possible. So Taisus writes in Masechtas Zvachim that in order to add to the Beis HaMikdash, what do you see from here, just from putting the two Gemaras together, what do you need in order to allow one to adjust the blueprints and the specifications of the Beis HaMikdash? It has to be that we're dealing with a mitzvah midoraisa. Smicha of an Hashem Metzora was only derabbanan. So that wasn't enough to poke a hole in the wall of the Beis HaMikdash to allow the Metzora to do smichas and karbanos in the Azara. Because that was a change to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, so mitzvah midrabanan is not good enough reason or grounds to adjust the specification of the Beis HaMikdash. And not more than that, it has to be a loisese deraisa. Not just the mitzvahs I say that we could forfeit and say, you know what, we can't do it, what are we going to do? It's just not possible. So, be meichel this time on Kisui Adam. It's just not possible. It must be something that's non-negotiable. And it must be an iser midrabanan. Look at Taisus in Zvachim. Taisus writes, "V'hadu ma'asifim al yivah azaras hanu hecha de ikal amei makra ashko v'dorsh." He says, "Umi ukasha dachinami elcha kra golom izeh." What about smichas hakarbonos? Why is there Hashem Metzora? Why can't we poke a hole in the Beis HaMikdash to allow him to do smicha? V'kai mitzvah smicha derachmano amar v'samach. There's a mitzvah midarach of smicha. Says Taisus, it must be l'may demasik. The smicha is Hashem Metzora. Lav deraisa necha. If since it's only derabbanan, we can't poke a hole in the wall. You need a mitzvah midaraisa. And what about kisui adam? That is a mitzvah midaraisa. V'hada amin bereish kisui adam. The kisui adam ain't a noiv mekdoshim mishum delay afshar. The hechli ovid. You can't add on top dirt on top of the mizbeach kamaisif abinyan. So he says, "Ain't a chosh of kamoi krod the kavim lo kasev behead to be crushed." You know, kamoi kisei adam and mukdashim. Since the pasuk never says you must do it by karbanos, so he said, "Okay, we'll be meichel on the mitzvah of kisei adam when it, as it relates to karbanos." So in order to allow one to adjust the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, must be we're dealing with A, a mitzvah midoraisa, and B, something that's non-negotiable. So Ramosha infers, let's go back to the Gemara Masech the Sukkah, that in order to separate between the men and the women, we constructed a balcony. That wasn't part of the original blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash. How was that allowed? The Gemara says, but Hakol Bechsab, Miyad Hashem. You have to maintain the same dimensions and as you know specifications of the Beis HaMikdash. How was that allowed? So Gemara says it was allowed because we found the pasuk in Sefer Zechariah that at the time of the Levi Mashiach ben Yosef, the men and the women were separate. So says Rav Moshe, that must mean that we're not just discussing over here a requirement midivrei Kabbalah based on the pasuk in Sefer Zechariah. This must be a requirement midoraisa. This is just reflecting something which the pasuk in Zechariah is reflecting a standard that has to be maintained. Midday rice in the Beis HaMikdash, that the men and women be separate, and not only that they be separate, but that there be a boundary, a barrier between them. Because if it was just enough that they be separate, we can't add or alter or change the structure of the Beis HaMikdash for any other reason. It must be that the barrier, the balcony, was a requirement midday rice and non-negotiable. Otherwise, we would have never had a right to change the structure of the Beis HaMikdash for this reason. Rabbi says, you hear? That's Rav Moshe's derivation. The separation between men and women is not only the Raisa because of the connection between relationship between a shul and the Beis HaMikdash, which had Ezra's Yisrael and Ezra's Nashim, but it must be that a barrier between the men and the women is also the Raisa, and that's what allowed us to adjust the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, it would be a violation of HaKol Bechsav Yad Hashem. Yeah.
In the first two cases, were they weren't separated? They were standing next to each other, just like right.
They were separated, but the Gemara said it didn't work to maintain the proper decorum. So the Gemara says must be a separation is not enough. They had to build a balcony. But the Gemara asks, how are you allowed to do that? It's a kol b'ksav. So the Gemara says no, it's allowed because we have another pasuk which indicates that this is allowed. So Rav Moshe said, yeah, but that pasuk must be then stating. From the other sources that deal with this prohibition of a kobek sami yad Hashem, we can't adjust the specification of Beis HaMikdash, must be that this requirement, not to only have a separation, but to have a barrier between the men and the woman, is itself a requirement d'oraisa. And what we derive from the pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, says Rav Moshe, is not that we have two competing mitzvos, one that the structure has to be maintained, one that there has to be a separation between men and women, is that that pasuk in Sefer Zechariah is teaching us that part of the specifications of the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash require a barrier to be built between the men and the women. It's not that we have two competing derises, and otherwise why would one take precedence over the other? It's rather that why would the separation between men and women take precedence over the fact that the Beis HaMikdash has certain specifications that have to be maintained? It must be that it's coming to teach us that this is part of the specification of the Beis HaMikdash, that there not only be a separation between men and women, but that there be a barrier between the men and women as well. That's what allowed it. The Marsha happens to have a separate pshat, a different pshat than that Gemara Masech the Sukkah. Rav Moshe mentions this. The Marsha says, no, what the Gemara meant to Masech the Sukkah to derive from the pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, or the reason why they were allowed to build a balcony in the Beis HaMikdash, is not because the requirement to have a barrier between men and women is deraisa. Perhaps it's enough for the separation alone. But it was not a violation to build a barrier or a balcony. It was not a violation of a kol bechsav, because the only time it's a violation of a kol bechsav is if you adjust the specifications, the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash in order to allow us to bring the karbonos. If it's something that relates to that karbonos, that's a violation. Why? Because when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Beis HaMikdash, clearly he knew that we were going to be bringing the karbonos. And presumably, it was sufficiently designed to allow us to bring karbonos. And if we can't figure out how to do that with fulfilling all the mitzvahs, that's our problem. You can't adjust the Beis HaMikdash to account, to allow us to bring karbonos. Clearly, that was what the Ribbono Shel Olam had in mind when he gave us the Beis HaMikdash, and it's sufficient for that purpose. However, this issue of preventing kalus rosh, levity between the, lightheartedness between the men and the women, or inappropriate decorum, that was not something that's related to Akravas HaKarbonos. So therefore, to adjust the Beis HaMikdash to account or to accommodate that kind of issue would not be a violation of HaKol Bechsav. Because the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash weren't necessarily going to address every eventuality that might arise. It was only going to address Akravas HaKarbonos. So that's why the Marsha writes, L'fisha zeh ha'tikul no yitzarech avodas HaMikdash al efrushe me'isura de'erva. Since it was for a second, a zaitika concern, a separate issue, Now we're going to talk about the carbonos. So have a bechlal hakol b'chsav miyad Hashem. In which case, it could be that we can't derive from here that a barrier between the men and women is derived. So perhaps the separation alone is enough, and the barrier was only needed to serve as like a siyag, as a boundary midrabanan, like the first mission Masechta Savas, say siyag l'tayra. Separation is enough, and the mechitza was deraisa to prevent kalus rush. The separation wasn't working, so they had to introduce a mechitza or barrier. So Ramesha argues with this Marsha, and he says, "One minute, what this? The mission Masechta Shulim was discussing kisi adam, covering over the blood. Covering over the blood is not a hakravas hakarbanos issue. That's a mitzvah that applies to all shchita. Every time you sheft an oif." If you chef empire chickens, you have to do kisei adam. So, that has nothing to do with our kravitz, our kavanas. Yet, the Gemara brought up the issue of a kol b'chsav. So therefore, Rav Moshe rejects the argument of the Maharshan. It must be that when the Gemara quoted the pasuk from Sefer Zechariah, that there has to be a barrier between the men and women at the Hespeid, the Mashiach ben Yosef, must be that that's teaching us there's a requirement in the Doraisa, to have a barrier between the men and the women, the separation is not enough, and that's why they were able, justified in adjusting the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. One could argue, though, and justify the Maharsha, that Kisei Adam is related to at least to Hakravas HaKarbonos. It has to do with the Shkita of the animal that's being brought as the Karbon. This issue of maintaining the core between the men and the women was literally nothing to do with Hakravas HaKarbonos. So one could perhaps defend the Maharsha in that fashion, but then one could argue and say, well, no, you could say that, this is part of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is what the Beis HaMikdash was designed for, and clearly, therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam had in mind there'd be men and women present, and should account for that as well. Okay, you can go back and forth about it. However, Ramesha sides with the fact that Hakol B'Chsav applies to all types of adjustments to the Beis HaMikdash, and the only reason they were allowed to adjust it to put in a gazuster or a balcony was because that was a requirement midoraisa, it was not negotiable, that there not only be a separation between the men and the women in the Beis HaMikdash, but that there be a barrier between them. So therefore, Ramosha says, if such a requirement existed in the Beis HaMikdash midoraisa, and the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, is a manifestation, a continuation of the Beis HaMikdash, according to the Sefer Yerim, according to the Rambam, midoraisa, this concept of Mikdash Miat exists, and you have to maintain the same standard of behavior in the Beis HaKnesses that we have in the Beis HaMikdash, the Iser of Mora Mikdash would apply, Mikdash Yitiro. So Moshe extrapolates from here that not only in Shul is it enough with the separation between the men and the women, Midoraisa, there must be a barrier, a Mechitza, between the men and the women in order so that it should not lead to Kalus Rosh. Where Moshe says, look, that may be only for the Rambam and the Urayim, that the concept of Mikdash Miyad exists Midoraisa. But he says, even according to the Ran, that the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is Midrabanan, because we treat it as Tashmishe Kedusha, because we do Dvaram Sheba Kedusha in the Shul. So Moshe says, yes, maybe the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is only Midrabanan, because we do Dvaram Sheba Kedusha there, but to really call the Beis HaMikdash Tashmishe Kedusha, like a Sefer Torah, like Tefillin, like Mezuzah, perhaps it's only Midrabanan. But that's only when we're not actively engaged in Tefillah. But if we're actively engaged in Tefillah, in Dvaram Sheba Kedusha, of Kaddish, Kedusha, Tefillah B'Tzibur, learning, so then Ramosha claims a Mechitza perhaps would exist, the requirement for Mechitza would exist, Midoraisa, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, where there was a standard of Umikdashi Tiro, so too at the time they were actively engaged in Tefillah, and Dvaram Sheba Kedusha, according to all Rishonim, the obligation to have a Mechitza, not only just separate between men and women, but the obligation to have a barrier between them would also be Midoraisa. That was Ramosha's position. According to that, therefore, Ramesha says, since the whole purpose of the Mechitza is to prevent Kalus Rosh and to maintain decorum in the Beis HaMikdash, not just as a siyag, to prevent that Midoraisa is enough for the separation, and the Mechitza is just as to protect, to make sure that the decorum is maintained, but the actual barriers require Midoraisa to prevent Kalus Rosh, because the Isur Mikdashi Tiro applies in the Beis HaKnesses too, just like in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Ramesha said the height of the barriers really has to be just to prevent Kalus Rosh. But he quotes the fact that there seems to be a contradiction within the Rambam. The Rambam in the Parash of Mishnayos, that Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, writes that the purpose of the Mechitza was the balcony, So the men and the women would not gaze at one another. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Lulav, right, said the purpose of the balcony was Kidei Shlo Yisarvu Elu Emelu. So the two should not become mixed or intermingled with one another. So Moshe, these are two very different standards. Is it that they can't see each other or mingle with one another? Yeah.
Is it one incumbent upon, like, doesn't Kidei Shlo Yisarvu, like, inherently have Lo Yisarvu, though?
Right, so Moshe claims, really, there's no contradiction here at all. The Rambam, when he says Shlo Yisarvu, means without a mechitza, if they'll see each other, that will lead to mingling. But it's not that the seeing each other is the root of the problem. We said presumably even when they installed the balcony in the Azara, they were still, as a Snashim, they were still able to see each other. So Moshe says presumably the seeing without a mechitza will lead to mingling. But that the real issue is mingling. So therefore Moshe felt it has to be a high enough mechitza that will prevent mingling between the men and the women. He argued that shoulder height should be the standard. Even if, in theory, one could have argued, even if you need a mechitza, perhaps we should import the standard of mechitza that we have in other areas of halacha, you know, 10 tfachim or 3 feet. Rav Moshe claims that that's not sufficient at all. Why? Because the whole purpose of the mechitza was to prevent kalus roish, and therefore it has to be a mechitza that will prevent kedei shelo yisarvu elu emelu, the two shouldn't become mixed with one another, as the Rambam said, and therefore 3 feet is not enough, 10 tfachim might exist in other areas of halacha. Here, it has to be what he called shoulder height. And Rav Moshe gets involved in the nitty-gritty, which is, there's like 15 tshuvas about mechitza in the Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe argues that it has to be shoulder height, which he claims is somewhere between 5.5 feet, it says 66 inches, and 72 inches. 5.5 feet and 6 feet. B'shas HaChak, he says he's willing to be lenient if it's 5 feet. So one woman in our community trend towards the shorter, you know, end of the spectrum. So he says 5 feet. This is shoulder height. So they shouldn't be able to talk with one another and pass items to one another, which would lead to kalus rush. So that's Rav Moshe's position. But according to Rav Moshe, let's say the upper half would be made of glass. So Moshe says that he doesn't have a problem with that. But Rav Moshe does say, assuming all of the women are dressed properly, which is a whole separate issue. If the women are not dressed properly, they have a whole separate issue that a person can't daven or say brachas while in the presence of a woman who's not dressed properly. So that could be, so therefore Rav Moshe does not advise that the glass is a good idea. But Rav Moshe says, midine mechitza, he says it would be sufficient. Or if there would be, a heavy lattice work, you know, like a wooden with, Rav Moshe says if there's just bars, or like poles, Rav Moshe says that's not good enough. People can talk right through that, or you can pass items right through it. But if it's thick, lattice work, you know, like a wooden piece that has, might have holes here and there or design, but it prevents intermingling and speaking and passing items through it, then Rav Moshe says he thinks that was sufficient, that would be sufficient. Rav Moshe discusses, interestingly, shuls, which maybe you've seen a shul like this. There was a time when this was a popular way of designing shuls, probably in order to make a woman happy, but was to have, the proper height of a mechitza, let's say, 5.5 feet, but then to raise the woman's section and put it on a platform, raise it by a foot, and not raise the mechitza on the woman's side. Why? Because then the woman could see over the mechitza, and the mechitza seems to be the proper height. So Rav Moshe has a few tshuvas about that, where he says that he does not approve of that. He says, I can't, he said, I'm not going to... Ein ruchi no chayamenu, he doesn't give his approval to it. He says not prepared necessarily to make a macha against it, but he says that clearly he's not satisfied with that. Why? Because people are talking over the mechitza. The women are raised, they could talk right over it. So, Moshe is not happy about it, but there were shuls that were constructed like that. At least they have the proper size mechitza on the men's side. But Moshe felt that ideally it should really be the proper height on both sides. However, this is only according to Moshe's view that the purpose of the mechitza was to prevent mingling. Yeah.
Doesn't, based on the
Gemara,
shouldn't it be separate levels?
So Moshe says, ideally, would be to have a balcony. That prevents all mingling. And then Moshe said, you don't need a mechitza, the woman could see. He said, the man could see the woman. He says, assuming everyone's dressed appropriately. So that's always the you know, always the equalizer. Everyone has to be dressed appropriately. But assuming that is the case, then yeah, balcony is always the best. And that was what, you know, most, you know, the big European shuls all had balconies. But in our time, in our, you know, time and place, mechitzas on the same level become more, more, you know, the common shaila, and therefore that's where Moshe was addressing. However, in already in the 1800s, mid 1800s, when there were those who were trying to introduce reforms, changes into the Beis HaKnesses, so there was a group of gathering of, you know, 70 Hungarian rabbonim came together, you know, in Kokore, or position paper, that they felt that we have to adhere to the standard of the Rambam and the Perush of Mishnayos, which is what's called by the Tosis Yom Tov and the commentary of the Mishnayos, that it has to be Kadesh Lo Yistaklu Anoshim Benoshim. And that was the opinion of the Maram Shik, the Talmud of the Sam Sefer, and in more recent times that was championed by the Satmar Rebbe, by the Divrei Yoel, that the standard of a mechitza has to be not just Kadesh Lo Yisarvu Elu Meilu, they shouldn't be able to see one another. And he resolved the contradiction in the Rambam that just seeing one another is itself Iruv Zemzem. Seeing is also mingling. Not a mingling in terms of conversation, but it's a mingling of, in a different sort, in a different way. And therefore the standard has to be that they shouldn't be able to see one another, in which case the mechitza would have to be, you know, above the eyesight of most men, probably 6 feet in our community. Yeah? Something like that, 6 feet or above, you know, something around there that high. So they're not that far off from a Moshe, but another big difference will be, what about glass? Or, you know, a lattice work which you could see through, and these kinds of issues would be issues for other Paiskim who maintain the standard that it has to be that you can't see one another. So that's two different trends that exist within the Paiskim. You know, some communities adopted you know, different standards, either like Moshe, or like the other Paiskim who felt that it shouldn't be, that you should be able to, that it should be that you shouldn't be able to see one another. Okay, so the separation between men and women clearly existed in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ezra's Nashim, Ezra's Yisrael, where Moshe argued from the Gemara Masechta the Sukkah that a separation is not enough. There must be a barrier between the men and the women, Midoy Raisa, not just that it's a siyog to prevent mingling, but in fact is a requirement, Midoy Raisa in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it should be a requirement, Midoy Raisa in the Beis HaKnesses. However, that seems to only be in the Beis HaKnesses, at the time of group tefillah. But 1 minute, where did they derive this requirement from? From the Pasuk of Zechariah, which was dealing with what? With the funeral of Mashiach ben Yosef. So Moshe says, even though it sounds like the nature of this halacha is because the decorum has to be maintained in the shul is a mikdash miyat, the use of a mikdashi tiro applies in the shul as well, and therefore, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't have intermingling, and you had to have a barrier between them, so too in the Beis HaKnesses as well. But the source for this is from a Levaya, Mashiach ben Yosef. So Moshe says, it sounds like from here that any public gathering which is open to the public and a mitzvah to attend, like a Levaya, and open to everyone, there's an obligation not only to have a separation between men and women, but actually a mechitza, a barrier between the men and the women. Wow. That's what Moshe writes. He says, a chasana is a private affair. It's not open to the public. You know, or if you have sometimes he discusses a Beis Avel too. Maybe it's not open to the public; it's a private affair. But if it's a private affair, so then you don't have that separation between the men and women of chitza. But if it's something that's open to the public and it's a mitzvah to attend, so oftentimes even in our community, we'll at least have a separation between the men and the women. But Moshe claimed that perhaps in certain circumstances it should even be a mechitza. But let's say that we're not even, you know, it's not a public gathering for tefillah. One person's davening, and there's a woman in the room. Do you need a mechitza, a barrier between the men and the women? So Moshe says no. It was only at a time of public tefillah, or in the shul, or public tefillah, when men and women are davening together. One person's davening. Even a minion of men are davening. But it's not a makom miyuchel tefillah. It's not the Beis HaKnesses, which is a recreation of the Beis HaMikdash. So you don't need a mechitza between the men and the women. If a group of women are davening, that could lead to kalos rosh. Fine, so then you would need a mechitza. But if it's just men are davening, and there's a woman there, would not need a mechitza between the man and the woman. And Rabbi Yisha proves it from Chana. Where was Chana davening? Chana was davening in the Azara, in the Ezra Sisrael. That's why Eli HaKohen was there. And Rabbi Yisha says, because a woman was allowed to enter into the Azara. The Gemara says, Maseches Kiddushin over here, Dafman Beis Mid Beis, discusses, the Mishnah discusses whether or not a man can be Makadesh with Kachim Kalim. He receives part of a carbon, you know, whoever brought the carbon received part of the carbon to eat. So let's say he wants to use that to be Makadesh a woman with it. So Gemara Mishnah discusses, can he do that? The problem is, Kachim Kalim are never allowed to leave the Azara. They have to stay in the Beis HaMikdash. If you bring it out, that's Pigol, and you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara asks, Isha b'Azara minayin. How could he makadish a woman with the Kachim Kalim? What in the world is she doing in the Azara? Isha b'Azara minayin. So Taisus there writes, it doesn't mean that a woman was prohibited from entering in the Azara. It was just uncommon. He says, "Well, Ashka b'shum duchta d'nash ma'asuras likanis b'Azara." We never find she was prohibited. In fact, she came in when she brought the karbanos of the Saita and the Nazira, and men entered into the Azara Nashim on Hakel and at the Simchas Beis Sheva. There were men sometimes walking the Azara Nashim, there were women sometimes walking the Azara Anashim. So he says, and Chana was davening in the Azara. So Ramesha says the fact that there was a woman there was davening the Ezra Yisrael, even though there are men walking around, wasn't necessarily a violation of anything. However, the two shouldn't be next to each other. Seems that there should be some separation. You know, the woman should be perhaps on the other side of the room. They don't need a mechitza, but yeah.
A lot of times they're like shirin and everyone comes to one side of the shul. Is that fine as long as they're next to each other?
Different communities have different standards about this. And Ramesh's extrapolation to the funerals is, I mean, it's compelling from the Gemara. It sounds like that. And I think our practice of funerals, most places, is to have a machitza by funerals. But shiurim and things like that, Rabbi Yisrael already discusses that perhaps the same standard doesn't necessarily have to be applied. Maybe because it's not open to the public, it's for a smaller group. The Mordechai actually discusses making a machitza between men and women at the time of the drush of the Rav. But presumably that was more of an official type event. Every community has their standards, which are established, hopefully in the proper channels. However, there is another pasuk in Parashas Kisetze where the pasuk says, "V'la machanecha kadosh, your community should be kadosh, your camp. V'la yirabecha ervas davar." Should be something inappropriate there. So the Yalkut Shemoni comments, "Lo yamid bein anoshim v'yispalo." Shouldn't stand together with women as you're davening, even privately. It should be a distance of four amos, meaning you could stand in the fifth amma. Where is this derived from? This distance of four amos from Chana, because the pasuk says by Chana, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehiam Brach, "Daf Lamed Aleph Beis, ani ha'isha nitzeves imcha bazeh." Chana says to Eli, "I'm the woman who is standing with you." Davening. Now, imcha is spelled usually ayin mem with an end of chaf, and a chaf sofis. Here it's chaf hey. Why is it misspelled? So it says Taisus to teach us that she was standing at a distance of five amos, meaning there was four amos between them. Imcha chaf hey, there was a distance of five amos between them. Kloimar shu ayosh b'sech arba amos lakim chamishes. So the Magen Avraham has a commentary in the Yalkut Shemayni called the Zeis Ranon. He writes that where did this distance between men and women, even when they're not in shul, which is a mikdash miyat, or it's not large groups of men and women davening together, which could lead l'idei kalus rosh, there still should be somewhat of a distance between men and women b'shas tefila. How much of a distance? Imcha, a distance of dalet amos. So if let's say you're at Hanukkah party or something, it's not taking place in the shul or at some other gathering, and the men are going to daven ma'ariv. So the men should move to one side of the room and the women should move to the other side of the room. And as long as there's a distance of da'at amos between them, so then that's assumed to be sufficient. If you have a large group of women davening together and a large group of men davening together, it's already, this is an ad hoc shul. So there should be, probably should be some sort of mechitza between them. But if it's just random davening, shalom b'makom, you know, shalom b'shas tefillah, men are good at making a minyan, mincha minyan. In the airport, you don't need a mechitza between women, but they should move to the corner of the room and daven over there. Yeah.
And what about an airplane?